Friday, October 3rd, Memorial of St. Teresa of the Infant Jesus. The lesson from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 12 through 14. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring upon her, as it were, a river of peace, and as an overflowing torrent, the glory of the Gentiles, which you shall suck. You shall be carried at the breasts, and upon the knees they shall caress you. As one whom the mother caresseth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. Haydock Commentary. This language evokes St. Paul feeding the weak with milk. See 1 Corinthians 3:2, Hebrews 5:12, and 1 Peter 2:2. Your bones shall flourish like an herb, that is, in baptism and the resurrection. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who, thinkest thou, is the greater in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus, calling unto him a little child, set him in the midst of them, and said, Amen, I say to you, unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, he is the greater in the kingdom of heaven. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. St. John Chrysostom says that the apostles had often disputed about this same matter. When therefore they saw that their thoughts were known to Christ, they opened the matter to him of their own accord, and asked him to resolve their question for them. Various things gave rise to these disputations, but the immediate cause was Christ having paid the drachma for Peter only. Hence they envied him, as preferred to them, and then each began to be anxious that he might be promoted to the first rank. St. Jerome says, Because they saw that the same piece of money had paid the tribute both for the Lord and Peter, from the equality of the payment, they thought Peter was preferred above the rest of the apostles. Therefore they asked, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus, knowing their thoughts and understanding the cause of their error, desired to heal their desire of glory by teaching them to contend in humility. Again they saw that Peter, James, and John had been taken apart by Christ on Tabor, and they grieved that they too had not been taken. Lastly, they had heard that Christ was shortly to die and rise again and enter into his glorious kingdom, and they prematurely were occupying themselves about these things and seeking how they might become chiefs. They wanted to be greatest in the kingdom of the Messiah, which the apostles expected Christ would establish on the earth. Maldonatus understands the passage as follows. He who is less, that is, more humble in the church, is greater in the church, and therefore greater in the kingdom of heaven. The apostles are charged by Christ with ambition because they looked upon the kingdom of heaven like an earthly kingdom, which is often compassed because of pride and even seized by force of arms. Jesus called a little child. It is thought, says Jansen, that this little boy was St. Martial, who afterwards became a disciple of St. Peter and was sent by him to preach the gospel in Gaul and converted the inhabitants of Limousin, of Toulouse, and Bordeaux. But others say that St. Martial was one of the 72 disciples. Christ bids us become like little children. Briefly and to the point does St. Hilary sum up their characteristics which ought to be imitated by believers. He says, They follow their father, they love their mother, they wish no evil to their neighbor, they regard not the care of riches, they are not wont to be insolent, nor to hate, nor to tell lies. They believe what they are told, they regard as true what they hear. Let us return, therefore, to the simplicity of little children, for when we have that, we bear about with us a likeness of the Lord's humility. The way, therefore, to heaven is humility, and the entrance and the door of heaven is humility, because, save through it, there is no access to heaven. St. Anthony saw in spirit the whole world full of jinns, and souls who desired to fly to heaven caught in them, and being thus ensnared by the demons, thrust into hell. He cried out with groans, O Lord, who shall escape all these snares? And he heard the answer, Humility shall escape them all. Christ, that he may cure the ambition of his disciples by a zeal for humility, makes use of three reasons to persuade them. The first is in this verse, in which he declares that none who are devoid of it shall enter heaven. The second is in the following verse, that humility exalts, and that if you wish to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you must be small and humble on earth. The third is in the fifth verse, that humility is conformity to Christ, who humbled himself below the apostles and all men, who humbled himself even unto death. Therefore whoso receiveth him that is humble, receiveth Christ. We are to become like little ones, not in want of wisdom, but in simplicity and innocence, and directly in humility. Thus the apostle in 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, Brethren, be not children in understanding. In malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. Origen gives the reason. A little child has no overweening ideas of himself, and does not boast of rank or riches. We see that infants, until their third or fourth year, even if they belong to the nobility, put themselves on an equality with boys of lowly birth, and are as ready to love poor children as rich ones. Learn here the paradox of Christian wisdom. If you wish to be great in heaven, desire to be unknown on earth, and to be little among men, to be despised and made of no account. If you wish to be raised to the chief thrones in the Empyrean, place thyself even below the feet of Judas, as St. Francis Borgia did. For it has been fixed and sanctioned by the eternal law of God, that whoso exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There was once seen a lofty and glorious throne among the seraphim, and a voice was heard which said, This seat is kept for the lowly Francis. So says St. Bonaventure. Humility is grateful and honorable with God, with angels, and with men. Even if you would act upon mere policy, you must embrace humility, because it is in favor with all men. Hence courtiers, be they as ambitious as they may, yet marvelously humble themselves both in word and deed. But because they labor under the secret arrogance of the mind, it is difficult for them not to betray their pride from breaking out by some indication in their countenance. St. Jerome says, You can have nothing more excellent or more lovable than humility. She is the chief preserver, and as it were the guardian of all virtues, and there is nothing which can make us so pleasing to God and men as that when we are deservedly great by reason of our life, we should be the lowest by reason of humility. But that Christ might appear not only to teach, but also to do, he fulfilled this by his example, when, while washing his disciples' feet, he kissed his betrayer, when he conversed with the Samaritan woman, when he talked with Mary sitting at his feet about the kingdom of heaven, when, rising from the dead, he appeared first to the women. But Satan fell from the state of an archangel for no other cause than pride, which is the vice contrary to humility. Humility, therefore, makes man to become an angel, even as pride made an angel to become a devil. The first gift which is given to man from beholding the divine light is self-knowledge, says St. Denis, and this is humility. For humility is a virtue by which a man thinketh vilely of himself through self-knowledge, and reckons himself inferior to all, either because he esteems himself viler, weaker, or more wretched than all, or because he piously thinks others are endowed with greater grace and other gifts of God than he is. Hear, too, the words of St. Caesarius. As from an earthly fountain or terrestrial river no one can drink unless he be willing to stoop, so also no one can draw living water from Christ, the fountain of life, and from the river of the Holy Ghost, unless he shall humble himself. According to that which is written, God resisteth the proud. St. Jerome gives a mirror of humility in St. Paula, of whom he writes thus in her epitaph, She shines amongst a multitude of gems as the most precious of all, and, as a ray of the sun, obscures the little sparkles of the stars. Thus she surpassed the virtues of all by the power of her humility. She was the least of all, that she might become greater than all. And the more she cast herself down, the more she was lifted up by Christ. She was obscure, and yet she could not lie hid. By flying from glory, she merited renown, which follows virtue like its shadow, and, deserting those who hunger after it, seeks those who despise it.